4341790, the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. The WhatsApp message says, I need some help, and I'm trying to use this medium. On April 11th, I purchased medication for my mom. The cost was $69.15. On May 9th, I called in and subsequently collected the same medication along with others from the same prescription. I was shocked when I saw the cost of the exact medication I bought a month earlier now cost $105.69. Upon careful examination of the receipt, I noticed that it had attracted VAT. On the May prescription, while on the April, there was no such charge. In fact, none of the other medicines prescribed had attracted VAT. I was told by the company that the company responsible for the price increase because the increase in, was not responsible for the price increase because the increase was inherited from the supplier. What I can't understand is why only on this particular medicine was VAT attached. It's called X-Forge. I'm grateful if you could get someone to offer an explanation for what I deem to be an error. There are several medicines that have had drastic increases in costs between March and April. I actually highlighted another one that went from $69 to $214. I don't know why it was put on as VAT on your bill. I will hope that having said what I have said, that the pharmacists who usually keep in touch with me and keep me posted on the cost of medicines will help me out with this one. I will try to see if I get a response from someone during the course of the luncheon interval. And if I have an answer, I will try to send it to you via the medium in which you have sent this message, which is the WhatsApp. I'll try to respond to it, and hopefully you will get it. Got a call in the break from someone who said to me, only two women turn your head. Yes, the others stole my heart. Only two turned my head. The person wanted to know what was their status. You're in my heart. Publicly declared. Brass Tacks 4341790. One of these days, I will really get myself in trouble. Until then, I will depend on the producer to save me. Somebody tell me you cut me too, so you know I get a real cut today. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Hello. It's a good thing I am on good terms with my colleagues. 4341790. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. All right.
Hello, good morning.
Hello, ma'am.
Are you hearing me? Oh, good.
Clearly.
I have a similar problem to the other person you were speaking to in connection with medication. But my problem is that I need to have someone assist me to collect the medication from the polyclinic. And on a previous occasion...
Polyclinics are doing delivery. That's
no,
what they said.
They will deliver to the person that comes. But I'm not able to go to the fit clinic because I am one of those unfortunate people that, you know, has all of the things they say. Well, if you're serious, if you have this, that, high blood pressure, you can't go alone. And I'm a senior, so...
Which polyclinic do you use? Because I know the hospital...
BlackRock polyclinic.
I know the hospital Ranford does Tate. Have a delivery service.
Ranford Tate.
Okay, yeah, all right. I'll find out about that one. But I know the hospital, the hospital was advertising that they do deliveries. I'm trying to remember if the post office said them too. I'm trying to see how I could assist you. But yeah, anyway, yes, you were saying.
No,
but you
on
need
a
someone to pick
occasion,
up.
On a previous occasion, someone had volunteered, and that person had worked out quite well, but they're not available at this
at the moment.
Time.
Okay.
So I would give them my documentation because the medication is already packaged with my name on it, but
it just needs to be collected.
To pick it up.
Gotcha.
Yes. So I would appreciate it if perhaps I could leave my name with the operator.
The producer. It's the producer.
Right. And if someone will call and they would just have to pick it up at BlackRock, and I live in the area of BlackRock. So.
There are people who do that type of work, ma'am, and I'm sure one of them will reach out to you. It is a situation that I think in these times, and indeed in most times, that Private pharmacies, clinics can find ways in which they can assist people who need medical medicines delivered to them. Because, yes, you should try to stay away from public gatherings and
other things. Do you have an indication of what kind of fee they charge for that?
No, but I can try and find out that as well for you. Just leave the contact information with the producer, and I'm sure she'll be able to pass it on to me and then hopefully on to you. Mm-hmm. I thank you very much. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Person said financial companies are not touching government paper. Okay. I hope you know you're talking about, sir. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Yes, sir.
Dennis?
Yes, sir.
This is Mohammed Nassau, you mind?
I'm hearing you in the distance. I'm all right, sir.
All right, good. Listen, I called you to first to discuss a few little things, but at least I want to get one clear off quick. I hear the lady that they call the Trinidad lady. That country, that lady said that you don't print money, you borrow money. I want to have to talk with you on that. Barbados do not print money, it borrows money from the central bank. And I'm glad that she cleared that, because I know that is a fact, but we in Barbados may think that we can print money.
Well, there is a term called printing money, sir. That's what it's called. It's called printing money.
But this is the mistake in the world.
It's that they think you just go and print a dollar bill and that's what it is, but yeah.
Right. And these things need to be cleared up. There's a lot of problems in this country amongst black people and things that need to be cleared up. They hear a lot of things and they're accepting and they do not understand what they mean. And the only boy who can print money right now is these people in America. They can print the press and print any amount of money and nobody don't do anything about it. But I want to talk to you about he said, oh, I'm going to break up, but just hustling here. Then you call Mr. Quinn and go on to Mr. Quinn. Government and this, and bonds and so on. I believe, Mr. Jones, I'd like to get your opinion. When a government collect money from the citizens, they don't care how to collect it, whether by bonds, by pensions, but however they do it. Once the citizens invest the money in the government, they invest it in their government, which is their money, and anytime the government of the day, which is the people's government, I don't care if the government 10 years from now or 15 years from now, if they generate enough money that they can repay that money, they should pay it back. No person should invest money in the government, and if they can't get it back, the children cannot get it back. It is in the government you invest it, your government, to save and protect your country. What's your opinion on that, Mr. Johnson?
So, the... It is in the interest of anybody, but you have to make it appealing to them. If you can't get people to accept investing in government, either in securities, bonds, investments in buildings, commercial entities, commercial enterprise, if you can't get it in good times, you ain't gonna get it in hard times, you know, sir. And that's the challenge we face. You have entities that the government have been part and parcel of, building hotels and then leasing them out for people to operate, and the public didn't rush to become part of it. The GEMS project was not something that people rushed to invest in, and various other things that have come up over a period of time. And if you can't get it in good times, you're not gonna get it in bad times.
No, but Mr. Johnson, the point I'm trying to make, if in Barbadian people's mind, they know if they don't get back the money with the present government they invested, the people who run the country, so even this need to be straight, this thing about government and so on, the government is the government of Barbados, not the government of the prime minister or the opposition. It's the government of Barbados, and from time to time, the people of Barbados change management to manage their affairs. Am I wrong there, Mr. Johnson, or am I right?
No, you're not wrong on that, sir.
Yeah, no. This is what I want to say. If the government of the day then get money from the people, either short, had to cut the salary or take investment that they couldn't pay, or a case may be, that money should continue to go on if ever it ends up with the children, with the people's grandchildren or great-grandchildren. The truth is, the money should not be a risk. I put my money to help my country. And as soon as my country gets strong enough, I've been strong enough in my lifetime, or in my children's lifetime, but I've been strong enough in my grandchildren or my great-grandchildren, that money should be refunded either in sections or one time according to how the country improved. What is your opinion with that, Mr. Johnson?
Sir, I can't fault it.
Good. Now, if that was the case, I would guarantee you that a lot of people would be happy to pump money into the government and make sure that it's successful and runs well.
So, unfortunately, that's where I disagree, because I don't know. My feeling has been that while there may be people who are quite willing to support their government because they see it as being their country. I know a time when Barbadians supported even companies because they felt attachment to it. I remember when Cave Shepherd burnt umpteen years ago, ordinary Barbadians were willing to put little money to bring Cave and Shepherd back and take a little, become a part of Cave and Shepherd. And they actually had shares in it. So I'm talking about people who are maids and people at that level. I wasn't talking about big business people. I was talking about ordinary Barbadians who saw Cave and Shepherd's store as being part and parcel of their life because they just go there and get their children uniform and thing, right? So there are people who feel that way about nation and country, but there are people who say, "Is my money, give it to me and I can decide what to do with it. Whether I want to put it in the bank, whether I want to put it down, or whether I want to spend it is my money." And they don't want to say, "I leave in anything, even for my own pension or my own elderly life, rather than even my children and grandchildren." So there are some who will support you, but there are some who will tell you no.
That's because they need to be trained, Mr. Johnson.
Educated. I prefer educated, sir. And that's the comment, and that is the conversation I was telling you about how we spend our money. Yes. Now you're with me.
I want to say something to Mr. Johnson. This idea about giving hampers got to look at. If you take a basket, a hamper costs $100, and you give it, a basket, a good cost, a hamper, and you give it to some person, that is nice. But if that person had the $100 bill instead, they would be able to utilize that $100 better than they can utilize the hampers.
You listening to what you just tell me? You just tell me about letting people know how to invest, and now you tell me give them the money. You see the contradiction?
No, but no, Mr. Johnson, they're talking about two different things. They're talking about, I'm talking about government no more now. We're talking about hampers. Mm. We're talking about there's two different things, Mr. Johnson. No, we get mixed up here. We are talking about, suppose the Aquinas Club decide to give out hampers.
Correct.
Hamper costs $120 or $150.
Right.
It is better to give that $150 to the person than to give them the hamper.
Don't agree.
Because they would be able to utilize the $100 more effectively than if you give them the hampers, because the truth is, they'll have little things that they want that will not be any hamper, and they will know how to utilize it. That's the point I'm making, sir. Not doing no government no more.
Sir, I hear you. The problem I have, sir, is that I think it is more difficult for service organizations to give people cash.
Why?
Because, sir, managing cash is a lot more difficult than managing a hamper. I can leave it there. Sir, yes, but it is more difficult. Sir, it is more difficult. Listen, sir, if you have in this room that I am in here, right, 40 cans of sardines, 40 cans of corned beef, 20 bales of toilet paper, you might miss a roll of toilet paper, you might miss a tin of corned beef. If you have $50,000 in here and you miss $100, you miss a lot here. That's how I'll put it and leave it, sir. And that's the challenge about handling cash. I think you could read what I have said clearly, right?
Mr. Johnson, I read what you have said, but I'm saying is that they can do the same. Some people can hide corned beef and they can
sign to get some friends. I tell you, you'll miss a roll of toilet paper and you'll miss a can of corned beef. But I tell you, when you miss the $100, the eyebrows go up a little higher than the can of corned beef because of the value we place on the corned beef for the toilet paper. And I know you can't do with a $100 bill what you could do with the toilet paper, but it's just that I think cash, sir, is a little more difficult to handle. You need a little more check and balance on that. But thanks for your contribution. So we have to have this conversation. And with the caller before the break, Ms. McLean, about this whole question of investments, savings, educating our population as to money management, and how best coming out of post-COVID and post-IMF, notice I gone past that one, post-BERT, we could have a different type of environment, financial environment. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Bramble Phillips, Solutions Barbados.
Yes, sir.
Right. I just want to touch on this for savings matter. Mm-hmm. We are just happy that the government seems to be sharing the plan before implementing it. And this is a change in protocol and a very welcome change. So rather than implementing something, they have now decided to share it with the public and I hope take feedback, improve it if they can, and then implement what they want to implement. So just very, very happy with this new method. So we can't complain about it at all. Now, what we would recommend, however, is they take a look at Solutions Barbados' economic growth plan. The first thing that they can do, rather than cutting the salaries, is just abolishing the no-bid contracts. Hmm. Once you go with a no-bid contract, there is no incentive for the person to be competitive at all. And if you work it out, it's between 2 and 5 times what you normally pay. So if you had gone competitively with a normal tender, you would pay a lot less. Now, who pays that 2 to 5 times? Instead of paying, say, $10 million, you pay $20 or $50 million. And that's additional cost that you do not have to pay. And therefore, it doesn't go into the pockets of the public worker. You actually have to take it out of their pockets now to pay this excess. And we get taxes being raised to pay for the excess. So right away, today, they don't have to wait till tomorrow. Today, they could decide to abolish these. They're basically in no-bid contracts, and that saves a lot of money. Then there's a whole list of other things that they could just take a look at our plan. It's been published since 2015. It's been updated. It still works. They are welcome to take a look at it.
Let me ask you this, Granville. The use of public funds for contracts. In your estimation, how much is lost by various governments using the method that we currently use, the method that we can't keep track of, that we don't know whether all over 100,000 contracts are tendered, this whole, we're not bound by the lowest or any bid and those terms that you find. How much do we actually lose? Have you ever worked that out?
Right. Well, just looking at projects, they are various types of projects. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of different consultancies. Mm-hmm. But looking at construction,
You could good one to pick on.
Well. Mm-hmm. Right, but well, you can use construction mainly because around the world, that is where the most corruption takes place. No, not accusing anyone of corruption.
Correct.
I do note that both established parties, when they're in opposition, complain about the gross corruption of the other one. But again, I have not seen the evidence. So
apparently neither of them, because nobody is brought to account.
Well, that's the surprising thing. However, by looking at the projects themselves and giving an estimate of what a project will normally cost, we're looking at least twice. So instead of paying $50 million for a project,
it'd be $100?
Spend $100 million when we do not
that
bid. Yes, when we don't bid. Right? When we don't bid. Now, if we bid, then there's a reason for, and again, some of this is actually documented. So, and I'm not saying that there's corruption involved. It's just that there's no incentive for the person who's receiving the no-bid contract to be competitive. Whereas if you knew that they were competitive, if they knew that others were competing for the same job, then they wouldn't need to go and put in some exorbitant amounts. So the first thing, as I said, is to slash all this excess money that we are spending unnecessarily by abolishing these no-bid contracts for construction work and any other consultants. You could easily go and check how much no-bid contracts were done during the first term of the current administration. I think it was in the order of about $100 million. So who knows how much of that could be saved? Had we tendered? Now, we sometimes say, we need things done in an emergency kind of fashion. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is not an excuse. There are enough persons that have done work for the government that they could easily ask them, give me a quick tender and get it back in 5 days or 3 days or 1 day.
Let me ask you another question then, sir.
Yeah. And you evaluate it the next day. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be, because again, we're not talking about this government spending the money. So we're not talking about the IDB or the CDB or some World Bank or something.
Yeah, who usually have conditionalities.
So the government is doing it. Mm-hmm. The government simply asks people, submit a tender for this. You have to submit it by tomorrow. And therefore, the people will do it. They'll stay up all night and they will submit the tender by the next day.
Right.
And then the government evaluates them and say, all right, well, yes, you can do the job or you go ahead and do it.
Let me ask you this other question then.
Yeah. But the thing is, at least it was competitive and therefore persons will put in competitive rates.
Rates. Okay. The other question is the weight, what I call the weight of government. For example, one of my favorite pet peeves is the institution of a governor general. Now, notice I say the institution because I'm not picking on the trappings attached to government house is something that I always check in the estimates, because my feeling is that this government house thing goes back to the day when the Queen used to send her great-grandson and the Viscount this and that, and you had to give him a house that matches the one you have in the country in England with a large garden for the garden party and croquet, and it was supported by England. We became independent and we kept that apparatus. Yeah. Are there things like that that we can look at and say, do we need $250,000 every year to maintain a government house, or $250,000 for a lower court? Or are there things like that that we can look at and trim the national budget just as we look at consultants and contracts and the various other things?
Well, I think those are such minor amounts.
They're minor.
And especially the government house. Mm-hmm. But let me explain it.
I picked on that one because I know of your interest in architecture, sir.
What they can do is, if it is that it is costing a lot to maintain, just tender and call in some consultants and let them put together a good maintenance plan that you would not need so much maintenance in following years. Now, correct. If it is that you do need the same amount of maintenance, it means that the consultant didn't do a good job.
Fair enough, sir.
And therefore, you will know to give them a little dark mark when the next time you're going to attend.
And say, don't call them again.
Well, yeah, you call them again, but you actually had a little bit of thought to it.
I wanted to ask you that one. I wanted to ask you about that one. Yeah.
Yes, but I think the government house is good insurance for us.
Okay.
That's how I see it, is insurance. Mm-hmm. Because it gives us standing in the international community to call for aid should something like what happened in Grenada happen.
Well, no, I'm not picking on the Governor General. I'm just talking about the apparatus surrounding it. Because, and that's why I asked you, because I said because of your architectural background, because I know things like history and heritage and, as you say, what it stands for will have to be supported by a figure. And you said the figure was not, what you would consider onerous. So I thank you for that.
Yeah, let me just clarify this, though. Mm-hmm. First of all, I'm not an architect, I'm an engineer.
I know that, too.
But the main thing is, I think we should keep the Governor General and Government House and all of that
mm-hmm.
because of the insurance the assurance, should we ever elect a dictator that decides to go and do foolishness, we have standing to call for aid.
And the first thing they might do is abolish the Governor General's post if they listen to you. But I take your point. And I did ask you from the engineering standpoint, because as the buildings get older, we always talk about the cost of maintaining government buildings in general. And I picked on those two because I know they are of historic importance as well. 4341-790. Brasstax at starcomnetwork.net 266-4862. Going through the numerous WhatsApp messages, a recurring one that I have to highlight in brief form. Bra, of course, we're close to the end of May now, which is the new cutoff point. And the complaints range from employers who have not uploaded the information to people unable to reach Bra to change their passwords or to find out anything. They went, and one of the WhatsApp messages said they went in person, spoke to the security guard, who said he could not leave his post and could not assist, and they could not reach through. They could not get through on any of the numbers, and their emails sent asking for new passwords not returned. As usual, I'm sure the answer is that they're overwhelmed as they get closer to the end date, especially COVID restrictions, etc. And here's the challenge that I tried pointing out, these challenges that keep coming up when these things happen. I gotta find another line. Help me, Greenback. I passed the National Insurance Office on a Saturday. I saw as many cars in the car park as if it was a Monday to Friday. So there are obviously people working overtime to try to clear the backlog there. There are various government institutions that certain times of the year, there's excessive pressure on them, and income tax filing is another one of those. If you're dealing with those in an environment where you have lockdowns, shutdowns, reduced times, persons being asked to have their salaries trimmed, forced savings, etc., there are people who will work. There are people who will work hard. There are people who will work very hard. And there are people who will not work as hard as others. And the public expectations will go up, and the complaints will go up. These are situations that can be managed by proper management of your human resources. Of course, I don't work in the environment, so, you know, it's not my area of expertise. But I'm just saying that that's how it appears sitting here. I also have several responses from people who said that that drug that the gentleman wrote about with the VAT attached, that they have purchased drugs, that piece of that medication, and there was no VAT attached to it. There was someone else who said, if it's a prescription, if it's on a prescription, there'd be no VAT. But usually if you get it other than with a prescription, VAT is attached. But the person did admit they were not a pharmacist. So I'll wait on confirmation from a pharmacist, but that's the response I've had to you, sir or madam, the person who sent me the information. I think it was a sir who sent me the information about that drug that was suddenly very, the price was increased and the increase was written as VAT. Brasstax, good afternoon. Hello. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
How are you doing?
I am doing all right, and you?
I'm fine, my brother.
Mm-hmm.
Good afternoon to your producer.
Michelle.
Mm-hmm. And to the listeners. Greetings. Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Rasta is the voice of the people.
Uh-huh.
There's opinion, complaint, suggestions, debate, sometimes heated. It also brings out the other side, their pain, their suffering, their anxiety. And that can also bring out a part of us that a lot of people really don't recognize. That is our self-control. Self-control basically is the power within. Our thought, our intention, our impulse. And when we're very under pressure, we can sometimes, as the Bible says, mere oppression may make a wise one act crazy. At times, people feel driven by force of circumstance to do what they otherwise would not do. So, our self-control, we need to rein it in, especially in these times. Now, the oppression that was written there at Ecclesiastes, that oppression might be from like dictators or rulers. But the pressure we are under now, that is not the case. This is something completely different. This is something beyond even our control or even the ruler's control, for as much as I say. But yet it can cause devastating effect on us if we do not think first, use insight and wisdom, and ask ourselves, how did we get to this state? How did I get in this position? What to do before we lose our inner thought and impact and act unwisely? Because it can be devastating. We can do things that we may later regret in life. So I just want to say again to the listeners, exercise self-control, remain calm.
You see that? You see that word, sir? Self-control? You know, plenty of people have no idea what that is, right?
Self-control?
Self-control, yes, sir. Sir, listen, I know we assume that people do things, right? Or people can do things. I am telling you, self-control is something that I think you need to learn. Some people need to learn it. They first have to recognize that they don't have it. And then it can be taught, but there are lots of people who have no self-control, none. They may think that they do, but they don't. I used to think that I had self-control until I was told that, you know, I fly off the handle too much. And I was told to do martial arts to teach me self-control. And then I learned that, yeah, there is something called self-control that I didn't have. It's not very easy, sir. Especially, as you pointed out, when you're back to the wall. It is a difficult thing. Really difficult. 4341790. Good afternoon. Hello.
Good afternoon to you, Dennis. How
yes,
are you
ma'am.
Doing?
I'm all right, and you?
I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
I got a couple of things to say, right?
Mm-hmm.
When all these people are being sent home, because one of the leading supermarkets said they're going to send home some temporary people, and it's predicted that more people will go home. Good.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, there might be some people who may have properties, etc., right? That belongs to them, it belongs to the bank, and so forth, right? So for now, they can get sell out, right? They can't pay the land tax. We didn't get any money to pay land tax from. They want you to get post office boxes. They want you to get boxes to put on your, you know, them boxes to put your mail in and all sorts of things. Where do people can get all this money from when there's no money coming in? They can't just depend on the unemployment benefit. At some point in time, it's going to run out. And again, people full hampers down all to the game, because when they give them a little package of food, the food going eat out, and people can still want more. So some people go, God, take your little money and try and turn it over and see what can happen and things like that. And I believe too, right, they're talking about the beauticians getting duty-free concessions. What about the craft people? We want duty-free on grocery trade and them sort of things. They got craft people that just make things and sell on the beach and other things like that. They want help too. You understand? And only beauticians that want to give help to this other sectors that need help. You know, open the shop in Bear Street. Let people get the materials and do the little work. You understand? Because all these people that are off could do a little something and still go down in market and sell a little something, you know? And how people could save when you can find a lot of people can just save because they ain't got no money to save, you know? And every time something have to happen, you understand? They pick on the civil servants. They can cut here and they can cut here. Civil servants ain't the only people too. They got the public sector. They got the private sector. The private sector could get cut too. You understand? It ain't easy all the time when they got to cut salaries. They're hitting at the public sector. Civil servants ain't the only person that's bringing revenue to the country.
Ma'am, can I ask you? Can I ask you?
Yes, please.
Who is it you're calling the private sector here? Because you started off by saying that supermarkets say they cut temporary staff. That's the private sector. There are companies that have not only cut staff, but they have reduced the pay of those who are on staff. The union says some of them have done it without the permission of the workers, and they're taking up that claim. So the private sector has cut without government's intervention at all. They've done it on their own. And the private sector does that all the time. The private sector does not wait on the government to tell it to cut or reduce or shed its workforce. They do it all the time. So the government employs the public servants, and that's why they try to drop their wages bill by trimming their staff, sending people home, and now this term for savings. It is, the weight is being borne by everybody. It's just that the public sector is the one that government deals with, and that's where the fight usually comes into the public domain, because they're represented by unions, and the unions make it a national cry. The private sector, however, pretty much does what it wants to do because it's not as heavily unionized as the public sector is. That's the only difference. All the hotels that send home people are private sector. The taxi drivers that not working are their own bosses, or they work for people. The same craft people that you mentioned that sell things on the beach, the jet ski operators, they're all out of business right now. Zero. Nothing. And therefore, that is a cut. They cut from whatever they were making to zero, nothing. These are hard times, and the dialogue will continue, ma'am. It will continue for a long while. I don't think we're coming out of this in a hurry. Gentleman says, I've helped someone passport with password issues. There is an automatic one that can be done. Scroll down to where the page says forgot password. Click there and you'll find answers to security questions to reset the password. And as long as the answers are correct, capital letters used in answers, etc., then you get an automatic temporary password. Well, sir, I can tell you I tried that one. And my security answers, I was told, were incorrect. It was the same security answers I've always given. As a matter of fact, when I called BRA and emailed them and eventually was given a temporary password and the document came up, I was surprised to see that my answers were absolutely the same answers I gave the first time. So I don't know why it came up saying that my answers were incorrect. And by the way, questions were, where did I have my first kiss? And who was my childhood hero? I've only had one hero in my entire life, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., so I could not have put another name. And the answer to where I had my first kiss was an arrogant one that said on my lips. So I could not forget that one either. But you tell me they were wrong. So apparently they spoke to the person involved. I don't know. But look, on a serious note, the issue with BRA, I think whether using Firefox or whether using some other type of method to reach BRA, and some of it may have to do with people forgetting their passwords. I think Minister Strawn said openly that most people forget their passwords by the next year, and they have lots of queries for people who want to reset their passwords. So that may be part of the problem. The other problems being faced, however, as I mentioned, I didn't mention the password one because I've seen that a few times. I mentioned the fact that employers had not uploaded the information. And then the question of people calling, the trying to reach after sending emails and not having a response. So the problem is not getting a response to the email, not being able to reach someone by phone, that time is running out and people are becoming a little desperate because, as usual, we kind of wait until the last minute. But employers not uploading information, not reaching people via email, and not reaching people via phone. When I sent an email, I got an almost immediate response telling me we've received it and somebody's going to get onto it, and they asked me what was my TIN number. And then I did not have a response for a couple of weeks, and I sent another email, no response for a couple of weeks, sent another email, and I got both response via email and response via telephone call. So I was a little persistent because I wanted to meet the April deadline and not wait till May. And I got an email here from the National Insurance or someone working there who said they're working Saturdays and Sundays to clear the backlog and sometimes into the night. And I thank you. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes, ma'am.
Right, yes. I'm calling to address a few issues that I'm having or experiencing right now. The first issue was the 1300 issue in terms of getting communication with them and not, they said that the application had been processed, but then after that, I'm not hearing anything else from them. So I had asked before if someone from there could, I don't know, come on the show and give an estimate of the time or explain how exactly the process works so you have a better idea of how long you would have to wait, even if it's an approximate time, I don't know, a month, 2 months to when you would have actually gotten processed. My second issue is the line for certain places.
Okay, if you just hold on, if you just hold on for a second, we're going to... thank you for holding, ma'am. Just before we continue our discussion, let me just... throw this in here quickly. What will become of the retail stores selling duty-free merchandise in Barbados? Dennis, will they remove the local price and allow Barbadians to buy at the duty-free price? Or will they keep their doors closed and their employees at home? I have a friend who's a small hotelier. We spent 2 hours yesterday discussing how the tourism sector will reopen. I'm of the belief that staycations are the only way. It will be a small drop in the bucket, but without airlift, locals will have to be encouraged to spend holidays locally. That was the comment on WhatsApp. I'll try to come back to it after if I get a chance because I see the lines are all going. And you're still with me, ma'am. Go ahead. We were talking. You wanted someone to come on air and explain.
Yes, it's with 1300 in terms of the process, the time between when it's actually processed and when the chat will be sent out, whether mm-hmm. it's through the mail or to your online account, because I believe you can have it put onto your both. Bank account.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. So, okay, my second issue mm-hmm. is the financial institutions as it stands right now in terms of when you have to go do your banking. Mm-hmm. In terms of the long lines, mm-hmm. especially when there are people who are at the higher end of the spectrum when it comes to risk. I've tried calling, I've tried emailing, messaging, and nothing is changing. Every time you go to this particular institution, the line is all the way around to the immigration office. I've spoken about the lack of professionalism with the security people, the personnel, who are supposed to come out and find out exactly what you're doing so that it would help speed up the process. In comparison to the other financial institution, not too far from there, where the security personnel, they come out, they ask you exactly where you're going, they find out exactly where you're going, and they address whether you go to the reception area to get further assistance, or you go straight to the teller, so the lane moves swiftly, and you don't have that backup. You don't have people bunching up in crowds, which is the opposite of what you really want people doing right now, especially the elderly, disabled, people who are probably sick already, and they're just coming to pay a bill or a loan. And I'm constantly calling, I'm constantly messaging, I'm not getting any change in the situation. So I said, we'll call today and see if I reach out to them, that maybe they would try to do something, because the personnel, I don't know if it's that they haven't been briefed on what they're supposed to do, But I was even told that I can't compare the other financial institutions to them because they have a different way of doing things. They told them, oh, well, where you have a different way of doing things because it's not working.
It's against your what you see. Yeah. Look, this question of how you treat to your customers is something that I have a real deep interest in. I know that persons, elderly and persons with disabilities, have been given a special day. But I also believe that there are some institutions that I think even before the actual days were adjusted, the way they were adjusted, said we'd allow seniors and persons with disabilities to do their banking between, let's say, 8 and 10, and then, you know, the rest of the population who are allowed on that day from 10 onwards. So they made allowances for these people. In some cases, because of their age, they are not online users of online, and sometimes they take a bit longer to do their transactions. And I agree with you, they should be treated in a different manner from the rest.
Yeah, the sun is extremely hot, and they have this up there, and they don't even come out and say, well, where are you going?
I was coming to that part of it, which was the other thing that I have a problem with. In a lot of cases, security guards are being asked to do something that they're not trained to do. There are some institutions that have very good guards. They've either been trained or they're just naturally very good. I've used the Barbados public workers and the security guards there. You know, I don't know why you made that funny noise on the radio, but anyhow.
Because I am trying not to call names.
No, I call names on purpose, ma'am. And when I call names, I do so because I know what I'm going to say and I control what I'm going to say so that my producer does not have to cut me, okay? When I go to the Barbados Public Workers in one branch, I get one type of treatment. I've gone to various banks where I've had other kinds of treatment, and I've made note of the branch, I've made note of the personnel, and I have made a comment to those who I think should be able to make a difference. And the reason why I do that is because, contrary to most of the other people who say, oh, me, I don't want to get victimized, I don't mind being victimized. I know what to do when I get victimized. I have the power of choice, and I make that choice. I find, however, that especially with financial institutions, there are people who are forgetting this word called customer. And unfortunately, because they do not make the connection between customer and what they're doing, they lose touch with the customer. They see them as public, people on the radio, people who are on the call-in program, the moderator who like to run him out. They don't see them as customers. And the gentleman who called today, for example, to find out about his bank in Bridgetown, I had to go online and find out where they were. In this current environment, I think it is important that the financial institutions in particular keep in touch with their publics. Also, the service providers should take a leaf out of those who stay in constant contact with their publics and note that they will have a different response. They will get their bills paid on time. They will get people who will be cooperative rather than antagonistic towards them. Some of them are not handling this matter well. And I can't put it any other way without stepping on corns, getting my producer to cut me.
Even the other point I had, which is my last point, was to do with the same service providers. A lot of people seem to be confused in terms of what is expected if they cannot pay their bills. I will say that the licensing board and the Barbados Water Authority, so far, in my experience, they have honored what they said they were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of other service providers, which I will not name right now, they have not honored that. And I was not really surprised because even when I used to pay my bills forward, sometimes my bill would be cut off, and they would say to me it was a mistake or error or whatever excuse, and then it would still take about 2 weeks for it to go back on, and they would still send me a bill the following month, which I did not pay, because I'm not going to pay you for service I did not get.
Right.
So then they would offer me a rebate on the next bill. But I'm not going to tolerate that foolishness. Other people might tolerate that, but if I'm not getting a service, I'm not going to pay you for it. It's as simple as that. So the other, then they sent me something, the same service provider asking me how is COVID affecting me in terms of...
Yeah, I got that too. I hit delete.
So, I definitely did not answer them because they didn't want the answer from me.
I hit delete.
So, they did not want an answer from me at all, because even one of the things I have from them, actually, no, it's not working. They said to me they can't fix it. But they're still sending me a bill. So, yeah, not everybody is doing what they're supposed to do and being as compassionate as they should be.
Ma'am, but you see, and this is my worry. It's not about compassion. It's about doing your job. You see, compassion comes from me saying, well, I don't have to do this, but I'm going to do it because. My problem is, if you're going to put somebody to manage a situation, if you're going to have somebody who's handling PR, I couldn't be a telephone operator. Let me put that on the table flat out. I don't like telephones, one. Two, I spent a lot of time, too much of my growing up years in Trinidad, where if you were calling from one district to another, you had to pay for the phone. And, you know, I had some issues in my household with me using the phone. So my conversations was, hey, you, who am I coming? Full stop. I could see you twitch your eyebrows, skin up your nose, you know, stretch out your tongue at me. I like that. I could see what you're doing, and we communicating, verbally or non-verbally. So I don't like phones. So I try to stay away from telephones, right? So I couldn't be a telephone operator. But there are people who are trained to be telephone operators. You don't take somebody who's not trained to be a telephone operator and put them on the phone, right? One. Two. So if you have a Barbadian who's agitated, trying to talk to a Jamaican who's not trained to answer the phone, you looking for World War VII, not even two or three or four. Because if you have an agitated Jamaican trying to talk to a Trinidadian who just had a little VAT 69 and really ain't care about you, partner, you could talk till your tongue drop out and I ain't listening to you, right? Because you are full blow and I'm not listening. But we put people on telephones and they're not trained to answer the phone. And when it becomes crunch time, when time running out for the income tax return and the VAT checking come in on time and whatever I'm looking for not there, my pension not there, if the person is not trained to answer the phone, if five phones going at once and they're trying to answer all the calls, or like poor Michelle up there trying to make sure that I ain't quarrel with nobody or to get cut, and somebody on the phone trying to tell her to tell Dennis Johnson to shut up, and then another line calling, and then somebody calling her to tell about the news. Girl doing six things at one time. I'll sit down up there so I know. You get frustrated and you tell people, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. And they say, but you real abrupt though. And then they complain, you know, and cuss you. Ma'am, the problem I have is if you put a security guard who feels that, one, they're working 12 hours, two, they're underpaid, three, they ain't get paid last week, four, they're really tired standing up here in the sun, that is not the person to ask to have sympathy on you, you know. Because they really ain't got time for that right now. Their concerns overpowering you. So they have to be trained to do that.
But the thing is, even if you say to them, well, I was told to come here because you are the first, the security guard is the first.
I know the telephone operator too. The telephone operator is the face of your business.
You can call them and say, well, listen, I was told to come here and make contact with you. Mm-hmm. So you can go and call the manager on duty to come to me.
You're correct.
But that is the process. Mm-hmm. They're still not going to do it. They're saying they're not doing that.
That's not their job. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You see, it's just someone don't have that. And I'm going to tell you right now, I've worked in a lot of different areas, even the same area you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I could be hot, I don't get paid, whatever. At the end of the day, when I said that, you have to have compassion, when it's speaking about the same thing to be built.
Correct.
I said because, regardless, I am able. I think that's the problem. People cannot put themselves
in the other person's shoe. Correct. Until the shoe is actually there. Yep.
But I have done that for years, and I would never want somebody to speak to me like that and treat me like that. I would never want to be, oh, and it's going to come to speak just to come and ask you a question and say you're not dealing with that. You're not even listening to me. That is not the way to speak to people. So they have to do something better, because at this time, this is not supposed to be behaving like that. It's not. And if you're saying we're putting people in jobs where they're not trained, then train the people. Because right now, this is not the time to have people out when they're not supposed to be out for long periods of time, especially the elderly, you know, are high risk. They're bunching up together because, let's face it, the tired, the hot, the exhausted are not coming outside and saying, well, okay, you're an elderly person. What you come to do? You come just to drop off this paper? Fine, you can drop that.
Yeah.
And back. No, everybody bunches together. You don't know what to come to do. You don't care. Whenever they come to you, sometimes they get the friendly line, or we're not doing that today. So you have wasted an hour risking your life, an hour in the hot sun, mixed up with people to hear that whatever you come to do is not being done. Correct. It don't take nothing off you to come and ask the people what you're there for. That's what I'm saying, common decency. And that has nothing to do with training. Common decency. You can see people stand up in the hot sun like that, and you won't feel anything for them. It's not good enough, and they need to do something about it, because I'm tired messaging, I'm tired calling, I'm tired emailing, and the next step after this, they're not going to really predict it like it, because I'm going to write something official. It's not good enough.
Points well made, ma'am. Thank you for making them. I hope they hear you. It may strike them.